Okay. Well, we're going to look again at some familiar scriptures, I think, for most of us. I'd like for you to turn to Romans, please. Book of Romans, chapter 6. One of the great truths that is so delivering when a child of God really sees it is what it is to be in Christ. When, and we're going to read a little bit of this today, but when anyone calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they confess Him as Lord, they believe that God raised Him from the dead, the Word says that they are in Christ, in Him. From that point forward, that is how that person is seen. It is the only way in which they are seen by God, as in Christ. Okay? We are completely, totally identified with Jesus Christ in the eyes of God. That's the completeness of His sacrifice. That's what was bought and paid for by His sacrifice, by His sufferings and what He did. All that Christ is, all that He has. You know, in the Old Testament, and I know many of you know this, when there were three main offerings in the Old Testament, and when they would bring an offering, say it was a sin offering, the priest didn't look at the sinner. That wasn't the issue. What the priest looked at was the sacrifice. That's all he looked at. Is, does this sacrifice meet the requirement? Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And that's what God looks at when He sees you. He sees you in light of the sacrifice. And that was Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. Isn't that something? And that can never, ever be undone. Never. Because it was bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. That's in Christ. So we're going to read some things along these lines about being in Christ and what we have in our identification with Him. I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but we considered a couple of scriptures, and I think it was Romans 12. Romans 12 talks about the renewed mind. And really what that is, simply, is our, here, identifying with Him. That's who we are. We are and have what Christ made us. And that's renewing the mind. And that's what transforms us. When we start to identify with our Lord Jesus Christ. God already sees us that way. That's the only way He sees us. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Well, let's start in verse 3. We read these verses the other, I think, recently anyway. But verse 3 of Romans 6, it says, "Know ye not, don't you know this, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death." We were baptized into His death. That's how identified we are with him. What this means is that when we were baptized into Jesus Christ, at that point at which we believed, to be baptized into Jesus Christ is to confess him as Lord. The word baptism, it's a word that basically means to immerse. And its meaning is determined by its context. Okay? Because of much teaching in the Christian world, the word baptism or baptize is typically and most often associated with John's baptism, water. But there are many baptisms in God's Word. That's only one. And it only had one purpose. But that being said, to be baptized into Christ is, at that point, we are so identified with him. What this means is that when he died, we died. Therefore, we, and it should read were, buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now this newness of life refers back to that life that was spoken of in Romans chapter 5. And we need to remember this, because we're going to come back to this. That life is that spirit life. That life is that life in Christ. That life is who we are spiritually. That's the life that Jesus Christ came to bring. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. It wasn't talking about physical riches. It was talking about spirit. Spirit. And we'll see here in a few minutes that this life, as wonderful as it is, that this life is as much as is available, it is temporary. It's temporary. We walk in that newness of life that we have now, but it is nothing compared to what we're going to have. And what we're going to have and where we're going to land is what it's all about. That's what it's all about, not this. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together, and that planted is united with or identified with. That's what it means. We were united together. We were identified together. In the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his what? Of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man should read was crucified with him, that the body of, and it should read, the sin might be destroyed or rendered inactive, that henceforth we should not serve or be enslaved to the sin. And the sin, again, in this context, all the way back into 5, it's not talking about what you do or don't do, your sin. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the sin that resulted in the death. Okay? The sin was what Adam did that resulted in the loss of spirit. Spirit life, that's the death. That's what we're delivered from. That's what Jesus Christ, as the last Adam, came to undo. And man, did he undo it. See? He undid that and made that life available again. So we're not to be enslaved to the sin. Now we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and we're just going to read, starting in verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are, where? In Christ Jesus. And that condemnation is the condemnation that Adam brought. See? That's the condemnation. In the Gospels, Jesus Christ taught, every man that is born into the world is condemned already. He's condemned. He's dead. He has no spirit. What Jesus Christ came to do was to deliver men from that condemnation. We who are in Christ are delivered. We're no longer under the condemnation anymore. Isn't that something of Adam? The rest of that verse isn't in any critical Greek text. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of the sin and the death. Okay? That law of the sin and the death refers back to that Mosaic law, which was put there to control the flesh. But we have what?
Spirit.
Right. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, that old nature, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned the sin in the flesh. He condemned the sin. He got right to the cause. And that's what these verses are talking about. That's what Romans 5 is talking about. That's what Romans 6 is talking about. It's talking about the cause. The cause. So often Christians get caught up in the effect. The sin. The sin. I'm a sinner. Sin. 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 Always looking for sin. Let's talk about the cause. That's what Jesus Christ smashed. And when any man or woman believes on him, they're in him, delivered from the sin, the death. Isn't that great? Out from the condemnation of Adam. Free. Once and for all. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh or according to the flesh, but according or after the Spirit. Verse 5, it's a little insertion here. For they that are after or according to the flesh, they mind or think of the things of the flesh. That's their thinking. But they that are after or according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, we're going to see here in a moment, we're in Christ. In Christ. There's no condemnation of them that are where? In Christ. This thinking the things of the flesh and this thinking the things of the Spirit isn't referring to the one who is in Christ. Thinking the things of the flesh and he dies or is dead. Or the one who is in Christ thinking the things of the Spirit and he lives. That's not what it's talking about. And we're going to see that in a moment. See? They that are in the flesh aren't in the flesh because they think the things, or they think incorrectly. They're in the flesh because they didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow? And those that are in the Spirit because they're in Christ. They're in Christ because they what?
Believe
on Jesus Christ. Isn't that simple? Isn't that wonderful?
Yep.
To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's separation from God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. It can't be. Because it's carnal. God is what?
Spirit.
So then, they that are in the flesh cannot what? They can't please God. Doesn't matter how good they are. Doesn't matter. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if or since the Spirit of God, what? Isn't that something? See? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. See, we're not all children of God. That's a lie. We don't all have a spark of the divine in us. That's a lie. That's not true. God is love. That's true. For God so loved the world, meaning he loves all that are in it. That's true. God wills that all men are saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's true. But not all are children of God. The only ones that are children of God are those that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the children of God. They're in Christ. The rest are not. They're not children of God. They can become children of God. Where did I stop?
None.
But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit is, since it is that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ, or since Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. See? Because you're in Christ, God only sees you as righteous. He can't see you any other way because you're in who?
Right.
That's huge. That's a little tough sometimes to understand, isn't it? But it's true. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or give life to your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. We're going to look at a little more about that in a few minutes. Now you have another little insertion here, beginning in verse 12 down to 14. Kind of further explains this a little bit. Therefore, because of this, because of that Spirit, because of that Spirit that's going to give us life, because of that Spirit that God's given us, because of that Spirit that we received, you're not a debtor to your flesh, which is put for your old nature. You don't owe it anything to live according to that. If you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? They're the sons of God. See, are we led by the Spirit of God?
Yes.
Absolutely. See? It's something. Now, you know, there's a context here. And these insertions are further explaining something to really who it would really sing to were those of Judean background, whose whole existence was the law and being in debt to the flesh. Isn't that something? And so what's being revealed is here is it's Christ, man. You're in Christ. See? You're righteous. You don't have to try and do anything with your flesh anymore to get there. It's done in Christ. Now you live. See? Now you live by that Spirit. And you know, that righteousness of the law, that law which was just, that law which showed what was right, that law which basically laid out how to love your neighbor. That's right. All of those things are done when we walk by the Spirit. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That which is right, that which is just, that walk with God, see? Walking in love, representing Christ. All those things are fulfilled as we walk by that Spirit. Verse 15, for you have not received... This really picks up where 11 leaves off. Talking about that Spirit that dwelleth in you, that new nature. For you have not received that Spirit or that nature of bondage or slavery to fear. You have received the Spirit of adoption or sonship. Spirit here is put for that new nature, that Spirit life and all that it entails, what that's made you. Okay? And it's not a spirit of bondage or slavery. It's a spirit of sonship, whereby, because of what we are in Christ, we cry what? Abba Father, Daddy. The Spirit, that nature, that which we received, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And our spirit here, it's, you got to watch context and just follow the flow, but that our spirit isn't referring to that Spirit of God. It's referring to that Spirit of man, you. It's talking about you. What is it that shows you you're a child of God? What is it? Well, yeah, but the Spirit, right? Spirit life from God. I can tell you till you're blue in the face. You know, people all over the world are told we're all children of God. We're all children of God. Yet men are out there seeking. Because you know what? They know they're not a child of God. They have spirit. It bears witness. Isn't that something? Okay, now it's going to keep talking about that. In Christ. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be, or since it is, that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. A wonderful translation of this verse in the Working Translation reads, so that if we do suffer together, we shall also be glorified together as heirs. Isn't that something? No matter, and we're going to come to this because we're in Christ, no matter what happens in this life, no matter where, whatever's thrown at us, we will be glorified together. We will be. Then you've got another parentheses kind of thing. They're called practical insertions, but just think of it as a parenthesis, and it starts in verse 18. It's going to further explain this, that glorified together. Okay? For I reckon, this is what I've determined, and this word reckon, it's not like, this is what I think. That's not what it means. The word reckon means 2 + 2 = what?
4.
That's what it means. This is what it adds up to. Okay? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. And it should read, to us. There is a glory coming. In Corinthians, it's called an eternal weight of glory. That's going to be revealed. And that word revealed is, it's to take the lid off. It's to uncover it. That's something? That lid's going to be taken off. And we're going to see it. We're going to see it. You know, in Corinthians 13, it says we see through a glass, and it says darkly in the King James. It's the word obscurely. It's obscure. At best, we see through a glass obscurely. But then we will know even as we are known. And how are we known? How are we known by God? In Christ. Righteous. Righteous. All authority delivered from darkness. All the things that are available to us. That's how we're known by God. And the day's coming when we're going to see it. In its fullness. Isn't that something? See, that glory is going to be revealed to us. Then it says, for the earnest expectation... This is how big this is. This is how big it is. The earnest expectation or the intense desire or the intense yearning of the creation, is what it should read, is waiting for this revealing, this manifestation, or this revealing of who? The sons of God. That's what it's waiting. The whole creation is waiting intensely for this revealing. It's waiting on us. See, and it's coming. But that's what it's waiting for. That's how big this revealing is. And this is already ours. It's waiting on us. That's part of what we have in Christ. That the creation's got to wait on us. Isn't that something? For the creation was made subject to vanity or uselessness, not willingly or not voluntarily, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same upon a hope, is how it should read. Upon a hope. What's that hope? Well, the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God, or the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Isn't that something? The creation is going to be delivered from corruption into the glorious freedom of who? Who's that?
Blood.
That's us. That's what we have in Christ. And it says, for we know that the whole creation groans. It groans and travails in pain together until now. It's like this word pain is it's used of labor. It's used of child labor. The creation is in labor. Waiting. That's a long labor from our perspective. Not from God's. But that whole creation is groaning as in labor, waiting on us, waiting for that glory to be revealed, that freedom. And not only, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of that new nature. We have the first fruits of it. It's called a token in another place, a deposit. It's a deposit of the new nature that we're going to have at the return of Christ. That's our hope. It's a deposit on that body fashioned like unto his glorious body. That's something. That's the proof. That's what bears witness that we're the children of God. For we are saved, and it should read, the word by should be the word to. We are saved to hope, or saved unto hope. That's what it's about. The life that we have right now, that eternal life spirit right now, is a token or a deposit of what will be revealed and what we'll have at the return of Jesus Christ, our hope. And that's what it's all about. We're saved unto hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what is a man for what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience what? Wait for it. See? We wait for it. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can what? Who can be against us? Because we're in Christ. We're in Christ. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And it should read, with him. Okay. Now, we sometimes read these verses and apply these all things to what we perceive to be our needs now. God is a God that meets needs. He's a God of all deliverance. He's a God of all comfort. But this is so, so, so much bigger. Much of the discouragement and disappointment that at times occurs for saints is because of the emphasis they put on this life. And hence their eyes are on the temporary. Get your eyes off the temporary and get them on the eternal. If I can keep my eyes on the eternal, then the things that seem so big to me now will seem like nothing. You follow? My confidence isn't in my prayer. My confidence is in my God. My boldness isn't in me. My boldness is because I trust His grace. Do you understand? It's eyes above. Eyes on the big things. Shall freely give us all things. You know, that's a lot more than a car. It's going to take all of eternity for God to exhibit His grace to us in His kindness. We're talking new bodies. Eternal life. You know, there's a day coming where God is going to dwell with men. What is that? Verse 33, who shall say, lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ that died? Yea, rather, or more to the point, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? How silly. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And it's interesting because it says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? But what we're going to list here is a bunch of what's. And it's in reference to the who that's behind the what's. And the who is going to get his head crushed one day. Right?
Yep.
So, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation? Mental pressures? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things we are what? No matter what happens, no matter what life throws at us, no matter what, we're more than conquerors. We're going to see that just in a minute. We're more than conquerors. Can these things happen in this life? They can. They can. It saddens God when a saint falls asleep. But you know what? Saints fall asleep. They do. But Thessalonians says and refers to them as the dead in who?
Christ.
They're still in Christ. Mm-hmm. Ah, cool. See? They're getting up. Getting up. They're in Christ. Can't undo it. Not even death. Nothing. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any creation, anything that's created, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that something? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and we're going to close there. In Christ. This is just a little bit. This is just a little bit of in Christ. You know, what we have and who we are. Verse 51. Now verse 50 says, flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, well, we're going to take care of that. Verse 51. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we'll all be what? We're all going to be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling, in the atomos of an eye, we get the word atom from it. That's how small that measurement is. in the atomos, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now the we here is put for those who are alive. Present tense. Isn't that something? Now as Paul wrote this by revelation, this was revealed to him. Is he alive?
Yeah.
No, but he will be one day. And he will be given a new body. But if Jesus Christ were to come back right now, what happens to us? We're changed. Isn't that beautiful? In a moment, in a just like that. And we shall be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. For the church, this comes to pass. This is a reference to a scripture in Isaiah 25, where God is talking to death. Yeah, he is. He's talking to death. And he tells death, your day's coming. Your day's coming. Verse 55, O death, where's your sting? Where's your sting now? It's stinger, really. Where's your stinger now? O grave, where's your victory? Where's your victory now? The sting or stinger of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the what? Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're already victorious because we are already in who? Christ. Yeah? We're going to be raised. We're going to have eternal life. We're going to have new bodies. So in light of all of these wonderful truths, think back to Romans 6 where it says, walk in newness of... Walk in newness of what? Walk in newness of life. That's spirit life. See, eyes up. Eyes up. It's big. It's bigger. Eyes up. You know. Seeing yourself in Christ as who and what you are. That's how we want to live, right? Living in light of that spirit nature. And we get better and better at that. As we stay in God's word, as we fight for one another, as saints, as brothers and sisters in Christ, see, helping one another, get our eyes up, get our eyes up. You know, sometimes we get discouraged. There's a day coming when we'll never be discouraged. You know, sometimes we don't understand right now. There's a day coming when we will. We don't see a whole lot right now. We see little bits and pieces, but there's a day coming when we will. Right? Guaranteed. Because we're in Christ. So. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, it's not without purpose in the Lord. He'll never forget. That's something. And we will be rewarded. We will be rewarded for those things that are according to Christ, according to that new nature that we have because we believed on Him. So, amen?
Amen.
All right. We're going to...